Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. While our listener support campaign continues, and I want to thank everyone who's contributed, and I especially want to take some time to thank Marilee and Renee for their support. And we send along access to our premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more, but with donations of $20 or more during this listener support campaign, we'll send an extra special thank you gift. Among the items that we send, and in this case were the Colonial Radio Theater mysteries, and they adapted original stories featuring Father Brown and Perry Mason. The Perry Mason ones are very interesting, I think, particularly because they take a very different approach than the Raymond Burr stories, really faithful to the novels and kind of the more hard-boiled spirit of the 1930s. And you can pick out your choice of the first five Perry Mason novels adapted by the Colonial Radio Theater as an audio drama with any donation of $20 or more. And at the $50 level, we'll send you three of them. The same thing applies to the Father Brown stories. In addition, at the $100 level, you can also pick, I know a lot of folks love Nero Wolfe, your choice of Nero Wolfe novels that are available on Audible. They have most of the Rex Stout novels and all of the later ones by Goldsboro as well. So that's an option. Full options available at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, folks, now it's time to continue on with the Fathom 5 matter, part 3 and part 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Barney Wilson, DA's office.
Oh, morning, Mr. Wilson.
Say, you're on an expense account, aren't you?
That's right.
Good, I'm not. How about buying me a lunch?
You got a deal. 12 o'clock here at my hotel?
Sold.
Found any more shoes?
No, and no bodies. Not yet, anyway.
I'm amazed.
Did find one thing you may be interested in, though.
What's that?
We got a lead on that license number you gave me last night. You were right. The car was bought from a dealer about 2 weeks ago.
By whom?
Somebody named John Smith, over on the east side of town.
That figures.
Well, maybe here's something that won't. I checked the address this morning. And you know what?
Sure, a vacant lot.
Well, now, how the devil did you know?
See you at lunch, Mr. Wilson.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Miami Beach, Florida. To the Home Office, Delta Liability, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Fathom 5 matter. A sunken cruiser that refused to give up its debt. Item 10, $4.80, lunch with DA Deputy Barney Wilson. A man who'd made up his mind about the case before I'd even arrived in town. Murder, he'd called it, when the hired cruiser Fathom 5 burned and sank mysteriously a mile or two offshore. But nobody'd been found yet, and I still doubted very much that one ever would be, because I wasn't even certain that William Markey was dead. Wilson, of course, had different ideas.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dollar. It's the old, old story. Two men go out in a boat, and only one comes back. No witnesses, nothing. And if that doesn't indicate murder, I'd say pass the sugar, will you, please?
Sure, here. You're convinced it's murder, and you're convinced young Danny Haynes did it.
Well, who else?
Well, now that would be a fine argument to advance in court, wouldn't it? Sure, sure. Certain conviction. Simply because you can't produce any other suspect. Wilson, I don't think there's been any murder at all. Now you can pass me the sugar.
All right. Suppose you let me tell you how I figure it.
While I'm eating my dessert?
Marky and his wife took a liking to this Haines kid and practically made him one of the family. And right there was their mistake.
It usually is.
Because Haines started getting ideas about his boss's wife. You have to admit, Mrs. Marky's a mighty pretty woman.
Who could deny it?
She's Haines' own age and her husband was older. So the kid in that bird brain of his figured he had it all tagged. Figured she actually went for him. I think he probably started bothering her, making a nuisance out of himself. And I'll lay you odds she'll admit he did, once she's convinced he's guilty.
Well, I got a sneaking hunch you may be right on that.
Oh, thank you, thank you. So what happened? Marky finally noticed the kid was getting a little out of line. Probably didn't even take it seriously at first, but eventually he must have decided he'd better get Haines straightened out.
So, he took him out on that fishing boat in order to talk to him alone, is that it?
Now you're with it, Dollar. But the thing backfired. Haines probably got mad, maybe started a fight, knocked Marky out, and that gave him his big idea.
Spur of the moment, huh?
Yes, sir. Now, with the boss out of the way, he'd have a clear field with the widow. So he threw Marky overboard, set fire to the cruiser, opened the sea cock so to be sure and sink, and then rowed away in a dinghy.
And how could he be sure the body wouldn't be found, washed ashore by the currents?
Oh, he couldn't be sure. But what if it was? There was a heavy fog. Nobody saw what happened. He knew it'd be mighty tough to prove anything on him.
Oh, brother, that's an understatement. As a matter of fact, it'll be impossible to prove that story.
Yeah, well, once he's arrested and interrogated, I figure he'll break down and tell us the whole thing.
Not unless he's completely simple-minded. No, you haven't even got the shadow of a case, Mr. Wilson. All you've got is a wild theory that doesn't even fit the facts.
You got a better theory, I suppose.
I think so.
And would it be the kind that would take your company off the hook on that $75,000 life insurance policy?
Now, by coincidence, it just so happens that it would. In fact, that insurance policy is the key to the whole thing.
Uh-huh. I sort of thought you might say that.
I didn't have any pet theory at first, but I do now. I'm pretty sure this thing is an out-and-out insurance fraud, and Danny Haines is being used as the fall guy.
Oh, do tell. And what are you finding for evidence, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, a lot of little things that are sort of starting to add up. For one thing, I got a long telegram this morning from a firm of confidential investigators in New York. I forwarded a request through Hartford yesterday. Yeah, they turned up quite a lot on Marky.
Such as?
His financial status, for the main thing.
Oh, well, go on.
Well, when he and Mrs. Marky were married 3 years ago, the firm was in first-class shape. But they've been living high, living up his capital. If he'd got that contract he came down here after, it might have pulled him through, but he didn't get it. Net result, he was flat broke.
So what? A lot of people are broke.
But not many of them have a $75,000 policy.
I thought that's what you were getting at.
What I am getting at is what I think happened. And I think Danny Haines is telling the truth. I think Marky did send him off alone in that dinghy. Then Marky fired the boat, opened the seacocks, and while she filled up and sank, he swam ashore in the fog. And he's waiting it out somewhere now until his widow collects the insurance.
Well, I don't see where you've got any more evidence than I have.
Well, there's not much, I'll grant you. Not so far. But what there is adds up.
I guess I'm just stupid, Dollar.
All right, look. Take Mrs. Markey's attitude, for instance. She's trying hard to play the role, but it doesn't come off. Now, does she act to you like a four-day widow?
Well, she's got a lot of self-control.
Well, I'll say she has. I tried to goad her yesterday when I talked to her, came right out and practically insulted her. And how did she react? Never took her eyes off that main chance, the $75,000.
Well, you know, it's not exactly unheard of for a widow not to mind too much being a widow.
Oh, no, no, that's not the impression she gives. She's tense enough, nervous as a cat. But it's not because of grief or any feeling of relief, either. It's because she's afraid she might say the wrong thing and let her foot slip.
Well, everybody's got a right to their own opinion.
Another thing is that Marky's body hasn't turned up. Now, I talked to the harbor master this morning. He knows the currents along this coast backwards and forwards. He says it's the only one chance in 100 that Marky's body would have been carried out through the reef instead of thrown up on the beach about where you found that shoe.
So, this is the one time in 100. That was a mighty fine lunch, Mr. Dollar.
We're going to fight you, Mr. Wilson, if you petition the court to declare Marky legally dead.
Yes, I sort of figured you would. Hensley and Davis phoned me this morning and said you'd retain them as counsel.
That's right.
Well,
I've been fought before.
Expense account item 11, 10 cents. Phone call to Edna Markey, widow of the allegedly deceased and beneficiary of his insurance policy.
Hello?
Mrs. Markey?
Yes?
This is Johnny Dollar.
Oh, I didn't recognize your voice.
I wonder if I could ask a favor of you.
Well, if it's something I could...
I'd like to borrow a photograph of your late husband for a few hours.
Well...
I'll take good care of it. Make sure he gets back to you.
Well, the fact is, I really don't have one.
Oh, well, you must have forgotten. I noticed one yesterday afternoon on the mantel in your study.
Well, I meant not a good one.
Well, that one will do fine, and thanks a lot.
Has something new come up, Mr. Dollar?
Yes, you might say that. I'll send a messenger out to pick it up. Goodbye, Mrs. Markey. Item 12, $3.80, messenger service. Item 13, $1.90, taxi fare to the used car lot of one Truthful Tom, the dealer who'd sold a car to a man named John Smith. A car that had departed suddenly from the vicinity of the Markey Beach House when its driver saw me come out of the house. I wasn't too sure whether Tom was truthful or not, but one thing was certain, he was typical.
I notice you looking at that little gray job, friend, and I say to myself, Truthful Tom, don't you go trying to get the best of that lad, because he's walked right in here and spotted the best doggone buy on the lot before he's even turned around.
Well, I wasn't really thinking of buying.
Friend, with the price I'll make you on that car, you can't afford not to buy it.
No, I'm not really in the market.
It's an economic society, friend. We're all in the market when the price is right.
No, I just happened to notice that it looked like the car a friend of mine had stolen a few weeks ago.
My dear friend, I'll make you... Did you say stolen?
Oh, it may not be the same one, of course.
I've got papers on that car. I've got papers on every last car on this lot.
Did you have papers on the one you sold to John Smith 2 weeks ago?
If he says I didn't, he's a liar.
Now, wait a minute, mister.
And I can get a dozen witnesses to prove it.
You remember him, then? Well, do you?
Remember who?
Look, I'm a special investigator for the Delta Liability.
It's a frame-up, that's all it is. Whoever it is says they got a hot car deal on this lot is lying. Truthful Tom never turned a dishonest penny in his whole doggone life.
Good, then we'll forget it.
And any low-down rat that says I did's a two-legged snake, and I... What'd you say?
I don't care anything about your deals. I'm trying to locate a fellow who bought a car from you.
Well, friend, that puts a different light on it. John Smith, you said?
That's the name he used.
I can't say I recollect anybody by that name.
Here's a copy of the title registry on the car.
Now, let's see now. 6842, dark green... Oh, that was that old clunker that... of course, it was well worth the price I was asking.
Do you remember the buyer?
You bet your life. You know why? Because he paid cash. Not a check, cash. I mean, the real long green Missoula.
Would you recognize a photograph of him?
Well, I might if... Oh, is this it? Well, let's see now.
Well?
No doubt of it, friend. That's the lad, all right.
Good evening, Mrs. Markey.
Mr. Dollar.
I brought back the photograph of your husband.
Oh, there wasn't that much hurry about it. Did it help any?
Quite a bit. Do you mind if I come in?
Well, all right, of course.
Thank you.
You know, I've been trying to think all day long what you could possibly want with that picture. I still can't imagine.
You can't, huh?
Sit down, Mr. Dollar.
Thanks.
It's a terrible picture, of course. That's why I hesitated about giving it to you. It doesn't look a thing like him.
It looked enough like him, Mrs. Markey.
Enough like him? I don't think I know what you mean.
Did you know your husband bought a second-hand car the week before his so-called death?
You must be mistaken. He'd have told me about it.
The car dealer positively identifies his photograph. He used the name John Smith, paid for it in cash.
What did you mean, so-called death?
William Markey isn't dead. I think we're both aware of that. Well, Mrs. Markey, aren't we?
Do you mind telling me what you're talking about?
It wasn't even a very smart scheme to start with. Your husband must have been really up against the wall, or he'd have known better than to try it. But I suppose he thought he had to in order to hang on to you. I imagine you're pretty expensive to support.
I think you'd better leave right now.
Actually, it would serve you both right if I did. But I decided to give you a chance. I came here to let you know exactly where you stand.
And where is that, if I may ask?
One step away from prison. Take that step, and you're in up to your necks, you and your husband both.
What step?
So far, we have no case against you for attempted fraud, because you haven't filed a claim yet. But take my advice, Mrs. Markey, don't file one, because the minute you do, we're going to hit you with both barrels.
You've got some pretty crazy ideas, haven't you?
You've had fair warning.
I've had one of the biggest bluffs I've ever heard about. Why, you people would do anything, wouldn't you, to keep from paying off on a policy?
Better talk it over with your husband before you do anything foolish.
My husband is dead, Mr. Dollar. No one but you even doubts it.
I'm a cynic.
How much proof does it take to bring you to your senses?
Mrs. Markey, as this case stands right now, there's only one way you could convince me that William Markey is not alive. Show me his dead body.
Johnny Dollar? Yes, just a moment. It's for you, Mr. Dollar.
Thanks. Johnny Dollar.
Barney Wilson here. Your hotel told me where to locate you.
I'd rather you located that car.
All the police agencies in the state have the license number and description. It'll turn up.
Well, the sooner the better.
It'll take more than a car to prove William Markey is still alive.
The dealer who sold it to him identified his photograph.
All right, but he bought the car 2 weeks ago. We know he was alive at that time. In case you've forgotten, Mr. Dollar, the Fathom 5 sank only 4 days ago. That's when Markey was murdered.
Okay. We're not going to settle it by arguing.
That's why I phoned. It's going to be settled tomorrow morning.
You've petitioned for a hearing?
10 o'clock in Judge Campbell's chambers.
You're making a mistake.
See you in court, Mr. Dollar.
From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Miami Beach. To the Home Office, Delta Liability, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Fathom 5 matter. The case of a cruiser mysteriously sunk off the Florida coast. I phoned the insurance company's legal counsel and told him that Wilson had petitioned a hearing to have William Markey declared legally dead. Then I rejoined Mrs. Markey in the study. She was tense and on edge, pacing the floor and smoking nervously. I watched her a moment without saying anything. Fully aware of her beauty and appeal. And fully convinced also that she and her missing husband were trying to swindle my company out of $75,000 in life insurance. I felt a little sorry for Markey. She must have been a pretty expensive luxury for a man who was going broke. But then I stopped feeling sorry. I remembered that they'd tried to set up young Danny Haynes as the fall guy for murder.
Well, why don't you go ahead and say it?
Say what?
Whatever it is you're thinking.
I thought I'd already said it, and pretty bluntly, too.
You made some wild accusations.
Not so wild. I've got some fairly solid facts to back them up.
Apparently the DA's office doesn't agree with you. Wasn't that Mr. Wilson on the phone?
That's right.
And didn't he say he would ask the court to declare my husband legally dead?
He's going to try to, but we'll stop him cold. He hasn't got a leg to stand on.
Well, that's what you're hired for, isn't it? To find some technicality so they can get out of paying off on a policy?
Attempted fraud isn't exactly a technicality, Mrs. Markey. Now I'll repeat that advice I just gave you. Get in touch with your husband. Tell him the scheme is off. It won't work. And don't file a claim for that life insurance.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? You'd just love to bluff me out of $75,000.
No. I just kind of hate to see you go to prison, that's all. And that's exactly what is going to happen if you file that claim.
You keep talking about some scheme. What scheme, Mr. Dollar?
You want it laid right on the line, huh?
I'd just like to know what you're talking about.
And just how much I've figured out. All right, I'll paint it for you in black and white. Your husband was broke, flat broke. I'm not guessing there. I got a report on him from a financial investigator in New York.
I knew nothing about his business affairs.
That I wouldn't know. Anyway, he thought he saw a chance to pull off a swindle on the basis of the only thing he had left, that $75,000 life insurance policy. So the two of you worked it out together.
Did your financial investigator tell you that? Or would you be guessing?
Your husband bought a car under an assumed name and probably rented living quarters somewhere in the area under another assumed name. So it was all set. It was just a matter of waiting for a morning when a heavy fog was down.
You have a fantastic imagination.
Meantime, just in case the accident theory didn't go over, you kept playing young Haynes along so it would seem as though he had a motive for murder. And that part was a cinch. He was already halfway in love with you.
You also have a rather nasty imagination.
So finally, 4 days ago, conditions were just right. Your husband took Haynes out on that fishing trip in the Fathom 5. He anchored the cruiser and sent Haynes off along the reef in the dinghy. Then he set fire to the boat, opened the sea cock so it would be sure to sink. He swam ashore and drove off in the car that he'd bought for exactly that purpose.
As I understand it, Mr. Dollar, that cruiser was anchored a mile or two offshore. Are you actually suggesting my husband swam that distance?
You mean that's something else you supposedly didn't know about?
What?
Oh, that report from New York was more complete than you seem to realize. William Markey has been a member of the Greenpoint Athletic Club for years. He won silver cups in the Long Island Sound Marathon swim 3 different times.
I knew he belonged to the club, of course, but I assumed it was more social.
Of course he could swim that far. That particular talent was probably what gave him the idea for the whole thing.
There's no proof, you know. Not one bit of real proof.
There will be, if you try to collect that insurance. We'll turn up enough proof to reach all the way from here to the state prison. So if you try to...
Will you excuse me, please?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
I lit a cigarette and waited for her, wondering why I even bothered to come here. I was fed up with it, sick of the whole thing. Fraud cases are like that, messy and dirty. You see people with a mask down and you get a look inside. And you get to wondering if everybody's like that. Wondering if you'd be like that yourself, maybe, if the price were right. And if you are, you hope you never find it out. All I wanted at the moment was to leave the house, wind the thing up, and get out of town.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dollar. It was somebody looking for an address. I mean, they had a wrong address.
I see.
Well, I think we at least understand each other now.
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
And I can say only one thing. You're wrong. You're completely and absolutely wrong.
Maybe.
I wish you weren't. I wish my husband were still alive, even under the circumstances you believe. Maybe I wouldn't be on the verge of a nervous breakdown, trying to hold on to my sanity. Maybe I wouldn't be crying alone at night.
You have my deepest sympathy, Mrs. Markey, for everything you're going through.
There's no use at all in trying to talk to you, is there?
Not unless you care to tell me where to find your husband.
Good night, Mr. Dollar.
I left the house and turned down the dark road toward the Pompano Beach Hotel. I'd planned to pick up a taxi there, but after that unknown visitor came to Mrs. Markey's door, I'd made a slight change in the plans. Whoever it was hadn't been a stranger, that I was sure of. She'd been too nervous when she came back into the room. It was someone she hadn't wanted me to know about. And I was pretty certain I could guess who. Evening, Mr. Haynes.
What? Oh, you're Mr. Dollar, the insurance investigator.
Mind if I come in?
Well, all right, sure.
You, weren't asleep, were you?
No, I was just reading.
Been here all evening?
Yeah, sure I've been here. Why?
You haven't been out in the last half hour?
I said I'd been here all evening.
You weren't down the road at the Markey place a few minutes ago?
No, I wasn't. Now, look, I've answered just about all the questions I'm going to you or to anybody else. So what are you trying to get at? What's the point?
All right, forget it, Danny.
Sure, forget it. It looks like you're out to try the same thing Wilson's doing, trying to tag me on a murder rap. And you're trying to drag Edna into it, Mrs. Markey. Oh, she told me how you talked to her last night. And I suppose you've been over there again this evening.
Oh, relax, Danny.
I'll tell you one thing right now. You better leave her alone and stop trying to push her around. She doesn't deserve it. She's had too much of that kind of stuff as it is.
Oh? From whom, Danny?
From Markey, that's from whom.
She tell you that?
I suppose you'll claim she's lying. You think everybody is lying. But you don't know her like I do. She's a sweet kid, Dollar, and she's had a raw deal out of life.
Such as?
Markey. The way he treated her, things he made her do. Oh, not when anybody would see it, pin it on him. He was too smart for that. But she told me about it, and there were plenty of times I could hardly keep from smashing him in the face.
Oh, brother, she's got you really set up good.
What do you mean by that?
If you talk this way to Wilson at the DA's office for 2 minutes, he'd slap a murder indictment on you so fast it'd make your head swim.
I didn't kill Markey. Hating a guy is one thing, but I didn't kill him.
Yeah, I know, I know. Because he's still alive.
Well, maybe he is. I don't know. All I know is what I saw out there that morning.
And you saw only as much as he wanted you to see.
Well, maybe so. But I'll tell you one thing. If he is trying to pull something crooked, he's doing it on his own. She's not in on it.
It'd be a little hard for him to collect his own insurance, wouldn't it?
Maybe he figured to get it away from her afterward. I don't know what he might be planning on, but I know she's got nothing to do with it. She's a great girl. I've never known anybody like her before.
No, I don't imagine you have.
I'd lay down my life for her if it ever came to that.
And I imagine that's exactly what they were counting on. Good night, Danny. Expense account item 16, $1.90. Taxi fare the following morning from my hotel to the courthouse. I got there at 9:30 and went over the case with Jim Davis, local counsel for the insurance company. And at 10 o'clock, the hearing on Wilson's petition was open in chamber session, Judge A.G. Campbell presiding. Judge Campbell kept the proceedings informal and the whole thing moved pretty fast. Both sides presented briefs and additional evidence was introduced through verbal interrogation. No witnesses were called. By 10:30, the cases for both sides had been completed.
Very well. There's no further evidence of fact or rebuttal. The court will make its decision on the evidence at hand. Now, in cases of this nature, where it is requested that the fact of death be established by legal declaration, it has been generally held that the substantiating evidence for said request must be essentially unchallengeable. The precedents in law are too numerous to bother citing. Now, in the case we are considering here, it seems to the court that the substantiating evidence is far from unchallengeable. In point of fact, it would seem that the bulk of the evidence indicates that William Markey may indeed be still alive. Now, the court would be powerless to act even in the face of a reasonable doubt. And the contrary evidence here is a good deal stronger than a reasonable doubt. Therefore, in the matter of the request made herein that William Markey be declared legally dead, it is the court's decision that the petition not be granted. If new evidence becomes available at some future time, the petition may be resubmitted. The court is adjourned.
Well, looks like you won, Mr. Dollar.
I told you what would happen.
I sure do hate to see that kid get away with murder.
Oh, forget it. Markey is walking around somewhere just as alive as you or I.
Well, we've all got a right to our opinions, Mr. Dollar. I see he's floating around out there in the Atlantic somewhere.
That's what he meant for us to think.
Maybe so, but I...
Pardon me, Mr. Wilson. A message was phoned in for you, but they wouldn't let me in the courtroom.
Oh, thank you, old man. Will you excuse me, Mr. Dollar?
Sure. Go ahead and read it.
The minute I step out of that office, somebody's bound to start calling... Well, well.
What's the matter?
Mr. Dollar, the Coast Patrol hauled a man's body out of the surf about an hour ago. Been drowned.
So?
They got a quick check on his prints. It's William Markey.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a dead man tells a tale, but not the tale he was meant to tell. And thereby hangs the wind-up. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. There's so much to say. I love the interactions between Johnny and the district attorney. They've been priceless. I mean, watching those two just go at it, it's really enjoyable. Sometimes people will talk about a movie or a TV show being just a bunch of people talking. And that becomes a problem when it's really, really boring. But when you get those two actors, you know, those two characters together, it's just such an interesting dynamic as they make their case. And a true tribute to the character actor Barney Phillips, who played this role, probably best known for his work on Dragnet, but played a ton of roles on radio, and really just does a great job creating this character. And the judge, just a perfect performance. That was by John Daner, best known as the radio voice of Paladin from Have Gun Will Travel. But he's great as a judge. In fact, he actually recorded an audition that will eventually play for a detective series where he'd play a crime-solving judge. Really just brought the perfect air of dignity. But, of course, it may appear that everything's moot with this latest discovery. And we have to find out, is it a case of somebody getting nervous? Or was the district attorney right all along and our hero wrong, as he sometimes is? Well, folks, we will have to find out on Friday. It'll be the windup, so you'll want to be with us then. Well, folks, we now turn to some listener comments and feedback. Christine emails in from West Tennessee. I was listening to the Johnny Dollar podcast, the Kebono Matter, and listened to you read a letter from a basketball coach. I'm happy to say that I had no idea there were other young people out there that listen to this type of radio program. Some people think that these programs are boring or have no element of surprise. What they don't know is that a lot of movies and television programs are based off of these shows. I am 34 years old and have been listening to Johnny Dollar for about 3 years now, and I love it. I actually got my same age fiance into it, and he bought me a huge collection of Johnny Dollar this past Valentine's Day, which I had gone through in about 2 weeks. Ha ha. I would like to say thank you for broadcasting this program as well as all the others. It's sad that some youngsters today are so technology driven that they have no idea how to use their imagination and see the story unfold in their own minds. Keep up the great broadcasting. Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Christine. And we do have younger listeners who are out there. People under 35, according to our listener survey, make up about 14% of the audience. You know, we have quite a few in that 35 to 45 bracket as well. I appreciate all of our listeners. I think if the show has one thing, it's making this available, making it easy to pass these shows on, because I think that, you know, sometimes I kind of, you know, I kind of hate to sound old before my time and worrying about the imaginations, because everything seems to be super spade and 1,000 tons of CGI graphics. And so many things I think that are truly good and truly enjoyable can get stereotyped. So I think everyone who's listening, regardless of their age, and we have just so many great listeners, and we're just going to continue to work to keep these great radio dramas alive and continuing to broadcast. All right, well, that will do it for today. Tomorrow, we're going to continue with the adventures of one Nicholas Carter, the greatest of all manhunters. And then we will be back on Friday for part 5 of the Fathom 5 matter. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.